You seek the key, but first you must learn the ways of precision, craft, and performance with Acura's all-electric ZDX. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system, up to a 313-mile range, and a Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, the ZDX is their most powerful SUV yet. Unlock the energy when you visit Acura.com to order yours today.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
This isn't your average business podcast, and he's not your average host. This is the James Altucher Show.
This is going to be an episode of I Was Wrong. Now, I'm very
James,
rarely wrong.
You were wrong?
Very rarely. Don't.
Almost never.
Make fun of me. Almost never. Almost never.
Almost never.
Almost never.
For people listening, they're being completely sarcastic because I'm wrong all the time. But, well, at least according to Robin, I'm wrong on everything.
No.
No.
And Jay, I'm wrong about anything relating to podcasts.
Not really.
But we've only done one episode of I Was Wrong, and it was about home ownership.
Yep.
And it's not quite that I was wrong, but I'll let people listen to that episode. Jay, maybe you could, if there's show notes or something, you could link to that episode.
Yeah.
And this episode is about college education. So just a little bit of history. In 2005, I wrote an article for the Financial Times. I had a regular column in the Financial Times, which is that pink newspaper from England. It's actually a pretty good newspaper because I feel like they get into more substantial. It's not just like, here's what Apple's earnings were. They specifically encouraged me to write as insanely as possible. In fact, my first few articles were a little too sane. Like I just sort of, hey, here's what stocks I like. And the editor-in-chief, Lionel Barber, he recently retired being editor-in-chief. Actually, it was a few years ago, pre-COVID, but he brought me into the office and he said, if you write more columns like this, we're going to have to get rid of you. We specifically want you to write the most insane stuff. Like, that's what we want you to do.
What is insane stuff?
Well, just not the usual, like, boring things that everybody writes about. So, for instance, I wrote an article, nobody should send their kids to college.
Right.
And at the time, this was like sacrilege. Like now I feel it's a conversation that parents have with their kids. But then basically every kid had to go to college or you felt horribly.
Yeah.
And, you know, I would tell my kids, well, they were very young then, but later, because I wrote about this not only in 2005, but for the 17 years since then. But I remember when I wrote that article, people were sending me hate mail. I did a video on Yahoo Finance. There were 10,000 comments just saying, oh, easy for him to say. He went to college. And I would try to respond, like, that's why I know that it's not worth it, because I went. If I didn't go, I wouldn't know that it wasn't worth it. And this one blog tore me apart. It was two professors arguing that how bad I was. And one time, actually, I gave a talk. I was invited to give a talk at the Cornell Club in New York. It's where alumni go. And it was me and the head of the Department of Computer Science at Cornell, which is the department I graduated from. The head of education in New York State was there. And everybody's giving us these glowing talks about education and Cornell. And I went up there and said, my computer science degree was worthless. And nobody should send their kids to college.
Do you get boo?
Yeah, everybody after that, who spoke after that, said something, not about anything I said, just said something about me.
Like, everyone was probably really quiet.
Well, and then there was Q&A afterwards, and none of the Q&A people asked me any question. Like, they completely ignored me. Everybody ignored me after that. Even the people who invited me to give the talk, they, like, just sort of left without shaking my hand and saying thank you. And And they never asked me back there again, even though I'm an alum, a prestigious alumni from that school. But I also lost friends. And this is part of the problem. This is part of why I was wrong, but I'll get to that in a second. I don't necessarily think my opinions are largely the same, but they're a little bit more nuanced than they were before. But I think the facts have stayed the same. So, by the way, I wrote a book, I think it was in 2012, 40 Alternatives to College. For a while, it was the number one book on Amazon under the category of college education. And a lot of things have happened since 2005 that have just confirmed what I've said. So back in 2005, I said that tuitions have risen faster than inflation every single year since 1977. So since 2005, tuitions have gone up faster than inflation every single year since 2005. And actually, it's not since 1977. It's since 1965.
So I have a question. Why does it start on 2005? Like, I don't know if you look into this or is it just
No, it didn't start in 2005. It started when student loans started getting backed by the U.S. government.
Right.
So, because basically, you know, kids under the age of 25, your prefrontal cortex is not fully formed.
Yes.
And that's the part of your brain that helps you manage risk. And so kids, they don't know. The 18-year-old, they take out this $200,000 loan to go to college. And the parents can't say, believe me, as a parent, you can't say anything. If a kid wants to go to college, they're going to college. Like it's hard to say no. I mean, I guess I could have said no, but.
I mean, they will hate you for life, you know?
They would have hated me for life. Yeah. And, you know, also fewer people need a college degree now to get a job. Mm-hmm. So it used to be the big reason my kids would give, you know, there's always a good reason and a real reason with kids. So they would give me a good reason, like, oh, you can get a job if you have a college degree. Or even if I want to be like an artist or a writer, I'll have something to fall back on. They always use that phrase, I'll have something to fall back on if I have a college degree. And let's not forget, there's nothing to fall back on. 55 million people were laid off in the first few months of COVID. Half the workforce of the United States was laid off. So there's no safety in a job. Like, that's the biggest myth of jobs. The other thing is, there's all these reports, like Georgetown did this study where they actually mentioned me. They mentioned me as a fool, basically. And they did this study that showed that over a 30-year period, people with college degrees make more than people without college degrees. Their statistics were somewhat correct, but their article was written around 2010, or 2006, I forget, somewhere in there. 30-year period, that starts in 1976. So whatever happened in 1976 doesn't apply now. There was no gig economy. There was no internet. Mm-hmm. There was no multiple streams of income.
There's people, no crypto.
There was no crypto. People did go to college and get a job based on their college degree. Now, let me see. I have all sorts of statistics. We'll get to them in a second.
Let's go.
So first off, I just want to mention, though, there are alternatives to college. Like Google, you know, offers these career certificates. Like, you could get a Google Data Analytics Professional Certificate. And Google has connections with 140 different companies that will acknowledge these Google certificates and give people jobs. 82% of the people who have gone through Google's professional certificate program have gotten jobs. Just wow. As good as like, and by the way, the average starting salary, $69,000.
Wow.
So, and 57% of people who go through Google certificate program do not have college degrees. 59%, right. Sorry.
Wow.
Now, guess what the average starting salary is for a college graduate?
55,000.
Yes. So less than someone who goes through, now guess how much Google's certificate program costs.
$150?
It's close. $39 a month after a free trial. And let me see
how long.
Well, it would be one thing if it was 6,000 months, then you're in trouble. But
I mean, $150 sounds like
I don't know. It's like a year or two.
Yeah, a year. So like 30 times 12, it's like 360.
And people will say like, well, what if I don't want to do a Google, like, you know, their certificate programs are in things like data analytics,
right?
UX design, IT support, IT automation. And people could say, well, what if I don't want to do those things? Well, then you're probably not going to get a job even if you go to college. So like if you major in like, you know, I don't know, anything with the word studies in it, you're probably not going to get a job afterwards.
Yeah.
And like, Jay, what did you major in?
I majored in recording art.
Right.
I knew what I wanted to do when I was 15. So I only focused on three subjects.
Yeah. So you specifically studied something that you wanted to get a job in. And now, you, by the way, you do recording, but you're also a podcast producer. You're speaking at podcast conferences about not only how do you do a recording, but you book the guests, you find the guests in many cases. So all the guests approach you because they know I don't return emails. And
yes.
So you've done more than what you studied for. So something like 80% of people don't do for a job what they studied for in college.
And also like they never asked for my certificates. I'm pretty sure the last time I interviewed for a studio, they just look at my resume, and then I don't think they even look at my resume. They just ask me what do I do, what have I done, what console do I use, for how long, and that's it. I was an intern.
Well, and I don't have any data on this, but after the first job, no one cares what your degree was. They just want to know what you did. Yeah. So, but let's also look at some other facts. These were the big I'll tell the problems, but then I'll say I was wrong about something. So I will acknowledge that. But here's the problem. 44 million Americans now have student debt. And the total amount of student debt is $1.5 trillion. There's no way. Like, there's been all these rumors, oh, you know, Congress is going to forgive student loan debt. Biden's going to forgive student loan debt. They're not going to forgive $1.5 trillion when there's all these worries about inflation right now. Mm. And it's sad because these, you know, the average salary for a plumber is $74,000. Okay, and many plumbers don't have college degrees.
Right.
So they don't have student loan debt. I just said what the average starting salary is for a college graduate is $55,000. But if they have $100,000 in debt, then they're never going to pay that down. It's really crippling. So a lot of people, because of their student loan debt, they have to delay things like marriage and owning a home and having kids. They live with their parents. You know, student loan, so I'm reading this right now, student loan debt, it delays retirement savings. So student loan borrowers, they were asked, what don't you spend on? 41% say they can't do any saving because of it all goes to the debt. They can't. 40% say they can't buy a car. 29% say they can't buy a home. 15% say they can't marry. I guess, you know, they're willing to be broke and married, but, you know, they don't want to be broke and buy a car. Jay, by the way, congratulations on buying your first car. What kind of car are you getting?
I haven't bought a car. I would literally just go there and see it. And then it's just way too expensive. So I'm like,
Because do you have student loan debt? Is that why you're not doing it?
No, it's just that like it doesn't justify me paying like 76 grand for a car that was supposed to cost 52 grand.
So
they mark up $10,000.
Really?
So this is
wow.
Yep.
This is an interesting statistic. So since student loan debt became a thing, since the government started backing student loan debt, like right now today, less than 50% of women and less than 30% of men have passed what's called the transition to adulthood milestones by age 30. So the transition to adulthood milestones are finishing school, moving out of their parents' home, being financially independent, marrying, and having children. In 1960, 77% of women and 65% of men had completed those milestones by age 30. Now, some of that's not because of college. Some of that is just culturally. People don't have kids as early and so on. But a lot of that is due to people postponing things because of student loan debt. And now, and again, many college graduates don't do jobs related to their college degree. For instance, 16,000 parking lot attendants have college degrees. 115,000 janitors have college degrees. 15% of taxi drivers have college degrees. 85% of college freshmen say they attended college to be able to get a better job. That's just BS. So, you know, and again, I think that's a good reason that people say, but the reality is people go to college because they don't want to enter the real world yet. And you go to lots of parties and you have a good time. And
yeah, and it's also a cultural thing, I believe. I mean, now Americans are a little bit different. Like in Malaysia, in Asia, like once you graduated from secondary school, what is equivalent of high school, we have to go to college. Like every time my mom asked, like when I graduated, my mom always asked me, are you going to be a doctor, lawyer, or an engineer? Like these three things that which, you know, I have to go to college for.
Yeah. So, you know, in a lot of countries, I think it like Japan and so on, it's expected. You go to school or else you're considered like a loser. And in the United States, it was like that. But I think the conversation, it's still largely like that now, but I think the conversation is at least applicable because people saw how many people were laid off during the Great Recession in 2008, 2009, how little loyalty companies had. And then again, in 2020, companies had zero loyalty. Right. Everyone was fired. And then, you know, back in, I think it was 2015 or 2014, I did a little bit of consulting for LinkedIn. And I remember asking them, how many of your, you know, LinkedIn, everybody searches for jobs. And I asked them, how many job searches are related to the gig economy? And you know, the gig economy are things like web design or being an Uber driver or, you know, some kind of software data thing. And I don't know, there's lots of gig economy stuff. We've done a ton of podcasts about that. And they said it's so small, it's inconsequential. But they said it is growing. And it's still growing. So right now, the gig economy, a few years ago, pre-COVID, it was $200 billion. Now it's $450 billion. That's how big the gig economy is. Wow. And that's just in a few years. It's growing 17% a year. I mean, if you think about it, if the economy were to grow 17% a year, everyone would freak out because that would mean there's too much inflation. The U.S. economy grows about 2% a year, but the gig part of the U.S. economy is growing 17% a year. And with good reason, because the IRS says, in order, you know, most multimillionaires have, on average, five different sources of income. And if you have a job, you only have one source of income. So the gig economy gives you multiple sources of income. And, you know, you could choose your lifestyle, which is very important to people. Like younger people want to work remote or they want to work at locations that they love. And
Atlanta.
Exactly. Well, the average plumber in Atlanta, that's where the statistic I was using, makes $74,000.
Wow.
So,
well, with the internet, I think that changed a lot of things because before, you know, you'd have to learn things in school, but now you're able to do it at home and online. So, I mean, I think that plays a huge role in the change right now.
Yeah,
the way people learn.
I mean, just compare, like, a plumber makes $74,000. And by the way, plumber has a hard job. So I'm not dissing plumbers at all. They have a hard job. They should get paid a lot. So the average bachelor's degree person makes $64,896. So, and the plumber most likely doesn't have student loan debt. And so, okay, why is student loan debt so bad? Well, again, I mentioned how kids, they don't really know how to assess risks. They like I once went on the NYU campus and I interviewed every kid I could find. And basically, I said, how are you going to pay your student loan? I asked everybody what their student loan debt was and how they're going to pay it back. And like one kid I talked to said he's working in an eyeglass store part-time and he'd probably work there full-time because it's the only job where he could consistently, you know, pay back the debt. Another woman I spoke to said she was going to hopefully get a job at MTV. And I said, well, why? And then she would pay back her debt. And her debt was about $200,000. And I said, well, what kind of salary could you make at MTV? And she said, well, I'm hoping to make like $55,000 or $50,000. There's no way to pay it back because 30% or so goes to taxes, particularly in New York City. And, you know, an apartment is like a studio apartment is $1,500 a month. How is she going to pay back her debt?
In New York City?
Yeah.
It's not anymore.
Not anymore. Yeah, you were paying $2,700.
I was paying $2,700
for like the worst apartment in the city.
Not worst, but like in the loft. And then I just left, and I asked the leasing agent how much he's gonna up the price for, at least the price for. She said like we'll try $3,500 and see. You know,
$3,500, and how many square feet was it?
750.
It's a one bedroom, right?
One bedroom.
It's like a loft.
So the average person with a bachelor's degree makes $1,200 a week before taxes. So let's say $800 a week after taxes. So they would have to spend their whole salary to live in New York City, and then they have to borrow money from their parents.
That's no way you can live by yourself unless you have a roommate or
parents, or you know? Four. Roommates.
Well, when I first moved to New York City, I had student loan debt, and in order to live in New York City, I had to basically live in a one room apartment that was probably much smaller, like 750 square feet was probably a palace, and I had a roommate. So I was on a futon and he was on the sofa, and the shower constantly ran. It couldn't turn off.
Oh no.
And
oh my God.
The kitchen was gross. And anyway, and then I don't know what the deal was. I think he found a key to an apartment and we were living there because no one else was. And then one day at 3 a.m, he's like, he walks in and says, come on, you got to pack right now. We got to get out of here.
Oh no.
And, what?
And that's
you were
when we
squatting.
Moved out. And I had the flu then as well. Yeah, we were, I don't know what was going on, but.
Squatter. Oh my God.
Yes, it's totally true. Airbnb has changed my life. If anything, they have made my life so much better. Like I used to live in Airbnbs. I lived in over 100 or 200 different Airbnbs over a 3-year period. And I loved it. I became a really good guest of Airbnbs. And I got to know lots of hosts. So when I initially owned a house, of course, the first thing I thought was, I'm going to turn my house into an Airbnb because I travel a lot. So why leave my house unused when I can make a side income by letting others Airbnb my house or come to stay in my house as guests? And having my own Airbnb or being a host for Airbnb has allowed me to do just that. And I've met other hosts. I've actually spoken at Airbnb's host conference. I think it was in 2017. I met so many just nice hosts. It's a great community. And I love, you know, turning my own home into an Airbnb. Like I'm traveling to Austin next month. My home's going to be an Airbnb while I'm away. And I'll stay in an Airbnb. I'd rather stay in like a 3-story house Airbnb than in one tiny hotel room in the middle of Austin during South by Southwest. So listen, while you're away, your home could be an Airbnb. Many people host on Airbnb. But there are people who are just letting their house sit empty, who've never thought about it or didn't realize their space could be an Airbnb. Hosting can easily fit into your lifestyle and is a great way to earn some extra money. So if you have a home, but you're not always at home, then you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. I remember last year I was asked to go speak at the Norway Business Summit, and I was so excited because side by side with the Business Summit was the Norway Chess Summit, where I would get to see in person Magnus Carlsen, the best chess player ever, playing chess. But it was 4 plane rides, like to get to the city that ultimately I would go to. So I really did not want to fly for 14 hours, and they were willing to pay for everything for me. So I at first class. So I didn't want to fly for 14 hours and not be first class. So I had to hurry up and get on the phone immediately to get those first class tickets to a chess tournament in Norway. And listen, this is just like when, you know, you have to know when you want the best of anything, you have to act quickly or someone else will get it instead. And I did not want those seats to fill up. So it's like if you're hiring for your business, you want to find the most talented people for your open roles before the competition scoops them up. I just was talking to a friend this morning where he was trying to decide between some programmers, and he waited a little too long, and both the programmers he was interviewing took other jobs, like great jobs. So, you know, what's the best way then to hire the best as quickly as possible? ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter finds qualified candidates fast. And right now, you could try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/James. Just try it and see. You'll find out. So ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology takes center stage to identify the top talent for your roles. Immediately after you post your job, ZipRecruiter's smart technology starts showing you qualified people for it. And I know this because one time I signed up as an employee, potential employee on ZipRecruiter, and I got nonstop, really, I was, even though obviously I wasn't looking for a job, I love what I do, but I just wanted to see what would happen because they were a sponsor of my podcast. And the most interesting jobs would pop up in my emails like, hey, you're qualified for this or that. And so it's interesting to see. So just go there and try it. Try ZipRecruiter.com/James. Amp up your hiring performance. Now, this is more for if you're hiring, but amp up your hiring performance with ZipRecruiter and find the best fast. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Just go to this exclusive web address right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. ZipRecruiter.com/James. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/James. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. So the other problem, though, with the government guaranteeing, you know, student loan debt is the one kind of debt you can't get rid of in a bankruptcy. And you used to be able to, but now you can't. And so that means even if you go bankrupt, you still owe your student loan debt. Everything else goes away. Now,
except the IRS.
Presidents, is that true?
Student loans and IRS.
That's probably true. So what happens with the government is the government pays your tuition and then you owe the government money. So college presidents know they're going to get paid. So the college president says, yeah, we'll raise the tuition because I know I'm going to get paid. As long as people go to college, I'm going to get paid. So because the government pays, not the students. The government pays for everybody who they lend money to. The $1.5 trillion in student loan debt all went into the college campuses. And so that's why they can just keep raising the tuition because the students don't care. The college presidents don't care. The government doesn't care because they're stupid. Anyway, this is problem number one with college. Problem number two is you spend 4 years not really studying what you want to do with your life. You're spending 4 years learning things, but you're not necessarily studying what you're interested in, what you're passionate about, what you're going to do for a living. It's not adding to your skills. You know, guess what major earns the less? I just looked it up.
Okay. Is it business?
No. Anything in the humanities, which is like the
bulk of… liberal arts.
Yeah, which is the bulk of college graduates.
Does it also include gender study?
Anything with the word studies in it is a guaranteed… you probably won't even get a job if you have the word studies in your degree.
This is what I'm confused about the most. Like… you're 18, right? When you graduate at 18 or whatever, high school, whatever. How do you know what field you want to go into? Do you just like, I want to be
that's a very good point.
You know?
So that's why I like this Google certificate program. Here's what I would do if I was a 18-year-old right now.
But like the Google certificate is only for like one particular position, right?
Right. So here's what I would do.
Okay.
Here's what I would do. I would go to Coursera, which is a great… online learning site, and I would take courses in a bunch of different subjects. Maybe I would take even 100 courses, same number of courses I would take in college, but it's faster, it's more immersive, and there's actually more diversity of what your choices are. You could take a course on anything. So there's so many courses at Coursera. In fact, Google certificates are hosted by Coursera. But there's other online sites too, like, you know, Skillshare and Teachable and Highbrow and Code Academy and and they're not all technical. Like I'm going to look at Coursera right now.
But I think a lot of the good part about universities, I think, is, you know, the socializing and, you know, meeting people, meeting kids that, you know, maybe.
But I agree, and that's the other reason everybody gives. But do you really think an eight, like Robin, take your daughter, for instance, who's in college right now. Do you really think at the age of 19, she would have a problem socializing? Like she would just, if she wasn't forced to go to college, she would just not stay in her room all day and not socialize with anybody?
Well, no, but I mean, I feel like it's a place where, you know, they can, you know, try new things, try different studies, you know, meet kids that are there that maybe have the same, you know, likes. I don't know. I just feel like they aren't that old yet. You know, they're 18, 19. They don't really know what they want to do. And yeah, I guess a lot of kids, they do party and they do all that stuff. But there are a lot of kids that don't, and they really get a lot out of it. So I think it's very nuanced. It depends on the kid, you know. And, you know, some kids just don't like the environment, and some really do like the environment. Oh, so
okay, so is it worth like anywhere between $50,000 and $200,000 to make friends? Like, is that the cost of making friends?
Well,
when you're 19?
It wouldn't be just for friends, but it's also, you know, living away, living on your own, dealing with roommates in a more controlled setting. It's being just more responsible in certain things. So it's sort of a gateway to, you know, adulthood.
Yeah, I agree. The shame is that this is where I was wrong, is that I just assumed because there was any problems with the college degree that all college degrees were bad, that it was just bad to get one. So the two main problems that I've mentioned are the costs and the fact that you don't really learn. It takes 4 years. And so that's 4 years where you could have been learning something you're really passionate about and even exploring with cheaper alternatives what you're passionate about. So it's almost like takes you out of action for 4 years when right. You could have been putting that to productive use and not getting into debt and maybe even starting to make money.
Right. And correct me if I'm wrong. Like, I think colleges and university, they made it pretty hard for you to change your major.
Right? Sometimes yes, sometimes no.
Okay.
But like, yeah, you're right. Like, if I go to Coursera, one day I could take a course exploring Beethoven's piano sonatas. The next day I could take a course on artificial intelligence. The next day I could take a course on create an Instagram post on Adobe Photoshop. So like, there's thousands of courses here that are very specific and could be or much more likely to be. I could pick and choose what I'm interested in as opposed to just being forced to take 3 years of Spanish or whatever. Yeah. I mean, here's a course. It's Foundations of Positive Psychology and Work Smarter, Not Harder, Time Management for Personal Development.
You know what is kind of crazy, though, that I do agree about is the, you know, you find, like, let's say, you know, a top university that's $70,000 a year. But then there's this third tier university that's the same price. You know what
yeah.
I mean?
Like one
and
of our
like,
kids.
It's like, why are you, like, I could understand if you're going to a, you know, one of the top universities maybe, but if you're going to one that's not that great, but still paying the same amount that you would going to.
Yeah. And look, there's a difference in price between public schools run by the state or
still
private
all
schools.
So high. It's crazy.
Yeah. But like for instance, one of our kids went to a school for a while that was the exact same tuition as Harvard. And this
what?
School, if I name the school, you will have never heard of it. It's not a good school, basically. It was the most depressing campus. What my kid wanted to major in, they didn't even have courses in it. And it was horrible. And so...
Why did she even go?
Because she thought... all her friends were going, so she had to go. And, you know, kids don't think. And then if you say no, and so, okay. So here's where I was wrong. First off, Robin, like you said earlier, some people really enjoy college, really benefit from it. And for better or for worse, they're willing to go into the debt. They're aware of it. Or maybe their parents are paying for it. And it's unfortunate that it's, you know, the wealthier kids remain wealthier because they go to college and marry people who went to college, and they're, you know, the most wealthy ones don't have the issues of student loan debt, so their kids probably won't have those issues, and that kind of increases the gap between the haves and the have-nots. But the reality is, I do know people who loved college so much. They loved studying philosophy and literature, and they're writers now. I mean, I basically, there's one friend of mine, she wrote a great book called Being Wrong, actually, and she's a writer now for The New Yorker. And I remember when she got her job at The New Yorker, she wrote me and said, if I didn't go to university, I never would have got this job. And that's the last time she spoke to me. So a very smart person. I highly recommend her book. It's called Being Wrong. And probably it was about me. But
no, it does open doors. I mean, especially, again, talking about the top universities. I mean, it really does open doors for you. And they do have a great network, you know, community within those universities.
I think that's right. It is what you make of it, right? So it didn't open doors for me, but I wasn't really a good networker. And,
your net worth, what do they say then?
Your network is your net worth. But I built my network later. Like, what happens is, after you have a couple of jobs, you do things for people that create value in their lives, and that becomes your real network. Mm-hmm. So it's not just the kids you partied with when you were 18 years old.
Sure.
It's the people you made money for when you were 30 years old, when you were 40 years old. It was the people who you helped, you know, get their jobs done and make money and get rich or whatever. And that becomes your real network, because those people will kill for you, hopefully. Sometimes it doesn't work out that way.
I don't know if I want them to kill for me, but you know.
It is very nuanced, though. I mean, I think it's each person needs to make this own choice. Yeah. I mean, and there's some things, jobs that you need, you know, a college degree, you know.
Well, like you legally, not, like a lawyer or a doctor.
A doctor or, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's just
quite
part
honestly,
of the system.
Again, like I've actually done consulting for law firms on the law. Like you could learn things on the job, but the system is set up so legally you're required to go to law school in almost every state. And for a doctor in particular, someone once asked me, would you rather you get brain surgery from someone who graduated from Harvard Medical School, or you get brain surgery from someone who didn't have a medical degree? And I thought this was like not an interesting question. And this was a very smart person. Like she was working for Bloomberg, the mayor at the time. And she was asking me this, and I said, I would rather get brain surgery from someone who's done a lot of brain surgeries. So that's really it. Like, I don't care where they went to school. I just want to know that people lived when they gave brain surgery. So whether they got it as an apprentice or, you know, learn in some way, that's
your
my
reputation.
Only criteria.
Your reputation is what's most important.
Yeah, and I guess a college degree is a shortcut for that. Oh, this person went to Harvard, so they probably have a good reputation.
They worked hard. They got in,
You know who I would take the medical advice from?
Me.
Someone from
Thank
Twitter.
You. Yeah. I always take my medical advice from people on Twitter, particularly when I'm like having a big painful problem.
Let's go on Twitter, right? Like WebMD a little bit. Like, hey,
like
I feel this.
If I have a rash in unusual places, I'll go to Twitter.
Yes. Because
that's where I'm going to meet my people.
Yes.
It's social media. It's social.
I know. Twitter.
So,
that would be funny though if you did tweet something like that.
You know, it would be even funnier if they actually have, what if like Twitter, after Elon Musk bought Twitter, and then they put out this like a Google certificate. It's like Twitter certified doctor and stuff like that, you know?
Yeah. Oh, that's a great idea.
If you tweet so many times, you become a doctor.
Yeah. It's like Robin said, you know, they will look at everyone's tweet, you know, like, oh, how much time, how much have
you
tweeted?
A couple of years ago, we did do a podcast about people who crowdsource their medical problems. There's a website that does it.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
And I signed
too.
Up
that
for
is
it
cool.
too.
Oh yeah,
but
you
nobody,
yeah you did.
Nobody
no
used
you
my
questions?
Advice. Yeah, nobody. Let me see if I can find it. I don't even remember the name.
I don't. Yeah, that was.
You
that
probably
was,
have a bunch of patients waiting for you.
That was at the height of the pandemic, I remember.
Yeah, and I was into it. I was like commenting on every, and then as people like your advice, you get promoted to the highest level you could be without having a medical degree. Unfortunately, I never got promoted. But my life dream then was to be like almost a doctor on this site.
And in a big malpractice suit.
But I will say, no malpractice was allowed. They read to that. So I will say, though, I was wrong, because I do think if you're aware of all the issues and you really want to go, here's a little what happened to me. I majored in computer science and as an undergrad. But then when I went to grad school for computer science, I lost interest in it and I became obsessed with writing. I wanted to write a novel. And so I was writing all the time, which is the reason why I was ultimately thrown out of graduate school. I was writing all the time. And I was reading all the time. So all the books that maybe I could have read in college, I was reading like a book a day just to catch up to what I thought a good writer should read. And so I was reading hundreds or even like thousands of books during this period. And, you know, I could have started that process in college if I had majored in creative writing, for instance. But the flip side of that is you look at all the people who graduate from Masters of Fine Arts programs in creative writing. I could tell you the plot of every single book. The plot is a failed writer who's now a professor at a small liberal arts college has an affair with one of their students and their life goes crazy. That's the plot of every single person who got a master's degree in creative writing. That's the plot of their first novel and their second and third novel.
Oh my God.
And so I swear to God, like anybody who goes to get in will agree with me, anybody who goes to a creative writing program will agree with me. That's the plot of every novel from people who graduate those. Because you don't have any experience. You don't get new experience. To write, you have to live life. You can't just live on, like, college campuses are great. Like when we go visit, like Lily, for instance, at her campus, it's like fantasy land. I want to live on a college campus.
It's like
I want to be a professor there. Yeah. It's like Hogwarts. It's amazing. And so that's the other thing too. I have to say I was wrong, because I wrote in one of these articles, I would never ever send my kids to college. I swear I will never send them. And at least 1, 2, 3 of my kids out of 5 have gone, 2 of them are in college now and one of them graduated college, but I didn't know him when he started college. Maybe he would have done differently then. One of my kids, the one who was most forceful about wanting to go, she left college after 2 years and I'm very proud of her, and she makes good money now. She would have been like a senior last year, I guess. She makes good money and life is good for her. And nobody ever asks her if she has a college degree. By the way, does she have a great job? Is she the CEO of a company? No, she's 24 years old. She has the same crappy jobs everyone else has, but no one asks her if she has a college degree. Yeah, and she's super happy.
And you know what? I just found this out. Like, you know, you can sign up to be a board member of any company. I think LinkedIn has this services. It's called Cloud Board or whatever. Like, you can sign up for it and then they will pair you with like any company and then you can be their board member.
Well, that's almost going to be worthy of another podcast.
What? Why?
Because that's pretty cool.
Because I used to want to be a board member of companies because you get stock and you get sometimes you get paid. It is the worst thing in the world. It took me years. Really? To get out of all my board commitments. In 2013, I swore I was never going to be a board member of any company again. And it took me like 4 years to get out of all my commitments. But
what?
That was...
I mean, I felt like it's so cool though. It's like, I'm the board member. You have to listen to me.
Yeah, but okay. But let's say the CEO was stealing money from the company and then the company goes bankrupt because of that. And now the CEO disappears. And all the investors and shareholders have to sue someone, so they sue the board.
Oh shit!
And then you go to these
responsibility.
And then you go to these law firms where, like, there's a lawyer who's charging $600 an hour, and he brings along like as an associate. Like, I remember I'm sitting in there in the law firm. It's like the lawyer's name was Brian, and he kept saying, you know, Matt, what do you think of this? And Matt would keep saying, my name's Bill. And, and Bill was charging $450 an hour. And what happens is, I didn't pay the money. Boards take out millions of dollars worth of board insurance. So insurance companies pay it. And the law firms know that. So they don't care. They keep the case going. I just got a message. This was a company I was on the board of in 2011. I just got a message a few weeks ago. The case is finally over.
What?
Wow.
Yeah.
That's
and
crazy.
I wrote back to them. I haven't heard from you guys in 8 years. I didn't even know the case was going on. And they said, yeah, it was stuck in the courts, quote unquote.
Oh dear.
Is that the one that you talk about in Wall Street Insane episode 2?
No, that's, I should probably talk about it in our Wall Street Insane series, because that was insane, that company. So $1 billion in revenues and it went bankrupt overnight.
Jesus.
It's crazy. And I was so proud of it too. And the stock was doing well and I had a lot of stock and it was awful. I went broke.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So anyway, where I was wrong was I do agree that for me, it's hard to say no to my kids. And when they all really wanted to go to college, they were all willing to borrow money. But of course, I paid for it. I was stupid. And I should have made them more responsible for it, but whatever. And I couldn't say no. I figured, look, at some point in their 20s, they're going to have real serious issues, much more serious than college. And I want to be there for them. I want them to come to me then with their problems, and I was worried they wouldn't if they hated me for not sending them to college. So I didn't follow my own advice, which you should never do if you give advice, and B, I do think of the two problems, Robin, you're right, maybe some kids do better in a college environment, and despite the costs, their lives are better for going to college because they meet people who are interested in the same things as them, come from, you know, it's the last time they get to really directly meet lots of people who are like them, and maybe they want to do that one last time. And you know, I don't believe in the networking thing because, I do think you get your network from the value you bring to your first few jobs. But it's...
I mean, you have to have something behind it. You know, when you... Like with Lily, she's able to get into these fellowships in the summer, and she's meeting great people, and it's amazing, but it is through her school. But she does, you know, she has the opportunity to do it, but she has to show her ability to do these well. I mean, like, they're not going to have her back, or it's not going to do her any good if she doesn't work hard and performs. And she's one that is, you know, that's all she's doing is focusing on that.
I've seen her really blossom in college. My, you know, we have another daughter who, she's a great writer. I have to say, this one daughter is much better writer than I was at that age. And I'm very critical. I don't hold back on this stuff. I would tell her, and she's majoring in creative writing. And I'm like, why do you have to go to college for this? You already know more than the other kids. Like, you're a good writer, and she never spends any time at all on the campus. She loves her job. She's a vegetarian, and she's a waitress at a vegan one of the most well-known vegan restaurants in New York City. And she loves the people she works with. She loves her job. She has so much money saved, and she's only 19. When I was 19,
they turned 20.
Oh yeah, they turned 20. I forget. When I was 20. I had no money saved. When I was 27, I had no money saved. I think the first time I saved any money, I was 30. And these kids now have savings.
By the way,
I worked. I worked five different jobs when I went to campus. Like, I paid for everything. in my college education. I paid for my living. I paid for my tuition. I did.
That's why you didn't have any money saved.
Well, I didn't. I never really paid my. I only started paying my debt back when I had money.
Yeah.
So I was. I owed interest. They were going after me, as they do. And so I'm a little more forgiving now of people who argue for college, but I do think it's a real scam what the government did with backing student loans. It created more income inequality among people. It made college presidents rich. I mean, college presidents make millions a year because of the tuitions paid.
Mm-hmm.
And it just inflated the importance of college. Like, there should be more electricians. There should be more plumbers. There should be more car mechanics.
I think that's happening now, honestly.
I think it is too. Well, and also there's more acceptance of not getting a college degree. These Google certificate programs. Google, one of the smartest companies out there, really led the way with having creating an alternative to college. And there's so many great online learning programs. So that's my whole college thing. Robin, can I say, like, you didn't.
I didn't go to college. Nope.
But you had a very successful business in your 20s. Mm-hmm. You had a huge, huge business, which you did well with. And you've been successful. You've lived all over the world. You've traveled everywhere. You're so smart and knowledgeable about so many things. And you didn't go to college. So,
no.
And Jay went to college.
I know nothing.
And knows nothing.
I was even. I've heard this story before. Like, I was very Victorian, and I have no idea what does that mean. Like, when they were announcing,
I don't even know what you just said.
I was graduating in a ceremony or whatever, and then they're like, very Victorian, Jay Yao.
Oh, valedictorian. Wow, you were the valedictorian.
Yeah, I have no idea what that means. I'm like, wait, what is that? Like, did I did something wrong? So I went up stage, looked confused as hell. I take the cert. I pose for the picture, and then I start walking down the aisle or whatever. And then I have, like, 5 hours later, when I get back home, I have to Google what is valedictorian.
Oh, you were number one in your class? I didn't know that.
I was, and I have no idea what that means.
See, I hired you. I didn't even know that you went to college, and I certainly didn't know that you were valedictorian.
Yeah.
And now you run the whole podcast. By the way, your classmates probably were really grateful that you didn't know what valedictorian was, because the worst speeches ever in mankind are valedictorian speeches. So
apparently they have to honor student to give speeches and not me. Maybe they knew, this Asian guy probably bad at English anyway, you know?
Maybe. Little do they know, now you give the most widely attended speeches at all the podcast conferences.
I know, like 30 people show up.
More conferences ask you to give talks now than ask me to give talks. No conference
ask
me
respond.
To give talks anymore.
Because I respond. I go to Twitter.
No, I have a speaking agency and they can't even get me speaking.
Well, they
gig.
Can't find you.
Yeah,
they call me. Find you.
That's like, true.
Do you know where James is?
I use Gary Vaynerchuk's speaking agency. But I think
maybe I should use them too.
You probably should.
You're funny.
So anyway, that's this episode of I Was Wrong. I apologize to all the people who stopped being my friends because I was against college. You know, it's a big cognitive bias. It's a big financial decision you make in your life. You know,
but it should be the kids. It should also be the kids' decision, because, like, whatever you do in your life, if it's going to make you feel better about yourself, or I think you should do it. It's a journey. And so, you know, it's important how people feel about themselves on the inside. So if it takes going to college, or if it takes not going to college, or making money instead of college, do it. Because that's the most important thing, I think, is you need to
evaluate what things make you feel good about yourself.
Right. So it takes time.
Yeah,
so
it takes time.
It does take time.
And you know, again, we have sent kids to college, so I can't be so against it because I have kids in college. So people would say to me, "Oh, you went to college, so your opinion doesn't count." But that is how I learned that it was worthless to me. But,
you have to skin in the game.
Yeah, it's skin in the game. And despite the cognitive bias that I had to support college, I was still against it. But because I saw,
so the question is, would they still go if we didn't pay?
I don't know. Well, they would have a hard time. I don't know. I have no idea.
I felt like if it's a lot cheaper, then you know you'll be like, yeah, just go ahead. You know, if it's like 10 times cheaper or something,
they probably would go if they could take out debt. Because again, kids don't care about debt. They think they're just going to make $1 million a year afterwards, and that solves their debt issues.
I don't think our kids think that.
Yeah, I'm trying. Like, I'm trying to buy a car, and then I'm like, I have to take out a loan for 60 grand. Mm. I'm like, I don't know if I want to do that.
Yeah, we'll do that.
That's a lot of money for a car.
Just take, you know, compare what you spend on Uber per month to what your car rent payments would be per month, and see if it's more. Because wouldn't you rather have someone else drive you around and it's the same cost?
Well, I mean, it's also like it's good to have, you know, like a car so I can drive anywhere I want to.
But you don't need a $60,000 car.
Definitely not a $60,000 car.
Get a nice, good old Ford truck.
That's the thing. Like they mark up $10,000. Like it wasn't $60,000, but like now it is because they mark up $10,000 apparently. Because there's no car anywhere apparently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, used car prices have gone up a lot lately too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway,
that's a whole other story.
So yeah.
We can have a whole thing on cars.
We could do. I was wrong about lots of things, but. College and housing were things I wrote about quite a bit back then. So, and a lot of people were very upset. And now here I am. I own a home and three of my kids go to college. Well, I'm kind of a loser.
And two don't. So that's...
One dropped out.
But the thing is like...
I'm really proud of her.
But the thing is that they're doing what they want to do. And we're supporting that. So I feel like we're doing a good job. You know, we're guiding... Yeah. You know, if they choose to do certain things, I mean, it's like, okay, we'll do it well. And
yeah, then as long as they are not breaking the law.
Right. And they're enjoying it. So
you have a really low standard, Jay, for your kids. Oh, kids, yeah. as long as you don't break the law.
You can do whatever.
You're doing well.
That's what you want. Girl,
you can do whatever you want.
His mom and dad never let him do that.
Your mom and dad never let you murder people?
No. They are like, whatever you do, just don't touch other people's neck. Just like that.
Did they say it in English? Did everyone in your house speak English? It's
in Mandarin, but they do speak English. But, you know, like I'm just translating, with the accent in there just in case, you know.
So I kind of want to make my own college and I want to be a professor also because that seems like really fun. I've given lots of, if any professors out there want me to give a guest lecture in their class, I'm available for free. I've done that quite a bit.
Yeah. Just as
but
long
just
as
long as you don't say that, it, you know, going to college is not good.
Yeah. Oh, I and have also, said that in classes at NYU and Columbia.
So now you wonder why you're not being called back.
Yeah, maybe you have a point.
And also you have to respond to email, so.
Yeah.
I have, let me see, my unread emails, unread, is 300, in my inbox, not spam. Is 374,714.
Jesus.
Oh,
Christ.
No. I know. I'm right behind
don't
you.
Don't say
though.
Jesus Christ like that.
Oh, sorry. Sorry. Oh, sorry. 2022. We can't say anything that's, you know,
No, you had to wait until Elon Musk buys Twitter and then you can say whatever you want.
Yeah, I can say whatever we want.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
this was fun.
That's it. Go to college.
Or not.
It's up to you.
Up to you.
I just feel, don't break your law.
Maybe like I'm older now. I'm a little bit more like I care less about opinions. I feel like 17 years is a long time, and I was really felt strongly about it. And now I just don't feel as strongly about things.
Yeah. That happens.
All right, podcast all over.
Right. Okay.
Bye. Yeah.
Bye, everyone.
Bye. All right,
thank you. Bye.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium-iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.